At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
Lowe's knows how to help you save. This July 4th, get up to 40% off select Maytag laundry appliances. Plus, get an additional 10% off when you buy two or three select major appliances. And when you buy four or more, you'll save an additional 20%. Find the right appliances and features that fit your home's unique needs and style. Shop Maytag 4th of July deals at Lowe's. Valid through 7/9. See Lowe's.com for details. Savings vary based on purchase amount. Selection varies by location.
You have 5 new messages.
Hey, Carl, it's Jen from Finance. Could you submit your expenses this week?
Hey, Carl, happy Friday. It's Jen, Finance. Just need those receipts today.
Me again, Carl. Really need those receipts, like last week. Please just tell me where they are. Are you by your desk right now?
Finance teams, you shouldn't be chasing down Carl or anyone else. With Ramp, expenses are sent with a text and reminders happen automatically. Switch your business to ramp.com today and love finance again.
Welcome to the podcast. If you'd like to listen to an ad-free version of this episode and all of our episodes, then search True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts and press subscribe. That's our premium channel where all of our ad-free and advanced episodes live, all in one place. True Crime Today Premium Plus. Search it on Apple Podcasts and press subscribe. Even try it for 3 days free.
You never really know someone until you find out what they've buried. Welcome to Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi, featuring retired FBI Special Agent Jennifer Coffendaffer.
We're talking about Brian Koberger today, and we're going to dive into the legal investigative storm surrounding him. The criminology PhD student accused of the shocking murders of the four University of Idaho students. This case has captivated the public, not just for the brutality of the crime, for the complex web of evidence involving DNA, digital footprints, and forensic breakthroughs, like investigative genetic genealogy. It's called IGG, and that's what we're going to be referring to quite a bit. I'm not going to say it the whole thing every time. The defense is fighting tooth and nail right now to exclude critical evidence, IGG, raising the stakes for both sides in what's shaking up to be one of the most high-profile trials in recent history. Joining us is retired FBI Special Agent and host of the podcast, Break the Case with Jennifer Coffendaffer on both YouTube and wherever you get podcasts. She's bringing invaluable insight into the investigative techniques and challenges at play here. Jennifer, with the defense targeting the DNA and digital evidence in this case, what does it tell us about the strengths and possible vulnerabilities in the prosecution's approach to the Koberger case?
Well, when it comes to the IGG in this case, which is the DNA evidence that links the sheath that was found below Maddie Mogan to Brian Koberger, this is the huckleberry. This is the most important piece of evidence in the entire case, hands down, and the defense is taking a shot at it. And recall, they've done this before. Actually, everything we're seeing now, we are seeing it for the second time because they changed venue and Judge Judge, who was the previous judge, has stepped down. So we have a whole new judge, Judge Hippler, mm-hmm. Not Hitler, Hippler.
Hippler, yes. Very important P.
That's right. Well, that's the joke, right? Yeah. They're calling him that because he's much stronger of a presence than Judge Judge. You know, we're seeing everything with timelines, and he's only giving them certain latitudes, meaning the defense. So it's shaping up much differently. I keep wondering if they don't regret asking for the venue change. Mm-hmm. But nevertheless, Tony, this was all visited before in another hearing that lasted so long because mm-hmm. the defense called three different witnesses that they paid, three different experts. And you may recall one expert changed her mind and said, I didn't even sign that document, mm-hmm. The expert document. And another one was, I believe, actually a botany major, but had kind of gotten into IgG. Mm-hmm. And so anyway, it was very interesting. And then they also brought on board the defense a lawyer whose expertise is in the area of IgG, you know. So they have spent literally tens of thousands, if not, well, let's say tens of thousands to be safe, on disproving the IgG information and basically disallowing it. And it lost last time, and I think it will lose their fight this time.
There's two fights. There's like kind of two ends to this fight that they're trying to make. One saying that it was gathered incorrectly, that it violated constitutional rights and privacy protections. The other end of it is arguing that it's not a reliable science. Let's first talk about violation of constitutional rights and privacy protections. There's not a whole lot out there that really defines how you can get it, how you can't get it, how you can use it, what it's used for. It's just kind of out there. So it's kind of the Wild West in some ways. Do they truly have an argument that is going to stand up that says, yeah, this there's a certain way of gathering this and you didn't do it right. So because of that, baby's out with the bathwater.
I just don't think they have the legs to stand on. They've tried to stand on some legs here and tried to build that case. And it's just not provable. When you look at the DNA that was collected, which is touch DNA, which for everybody, that doesn't mean you just touch something. Those are actual skin cells from your body that are left on a particular item. And it usually involves a lot of friction to even leave such cells. It's very rare for you to just touch something and have your skin cells slide off. In this case, it was the clasp of the K-bar knife sheath. And that makes a lot of sense for anybody who has handled a K-bar knife sheath. The snaps are very hard to open for obvious reasons. You don't want your knife being loose and you go to grab it and you cut yourself.
Yeah.
Or it falls out, you grab it. So they are tighter than really almost any other form of snap that I've ever dealt with, the knife sheath snaps. So in any event, that's where this DNA was retrieved from. Obviously, it was retrieved below a murder victim. So there certainly is no privacy or issues with that collection point. Mm-hmm. Then they used IgG, which is essentially comparing, and this is where it gets dicey, right? They're comparing it against all these databases where people want to know what their lineage is. Mm-hmm. So they send in their DNA, they swab themselves and send this in. And there's these huge data banks with basically, you know, millions of people's DNA. Mm-hmm. And from that, you can link to other individuals. And that's exactly what happened here. They initially linked it to the father's DNA. I have to be careful how I say that because I've been, you know, called under the carpet for how I'm saying that. But basically, there were DNA characteristics that matched up to the father then. Once they were able to identify and get samples of Brian Koberger's, then they could compare it for the 100% match, if that makes sense.
Yeah, yeah, it does. I mean, basically, they got the initial one. They discovered, okay, this links to this very specific family member. It's very likely that someone close to this person is the match to the knife sheath, which then led them towards Koberger. Then they eventually did do that swab of Koberger, and then they matched it. And yeah, surprise, surprise, it's him on the knife sheath. That being said, pretty factual. Like, there's not a lot of room for error here. There's not a case where, oh, shoot, it's somebody else's DNA, but it showed up like yours. Like, the odds of that are, like, in the billions. So it's not even really a thing. But they got there how they got there. So it doesn't erase the science. It doesn't erase the fact of what the DNA evidence is showing. The main argument does seem to be logistics on how you got here or how you didn't get here. And the thing is, IgG is used regularly in court. It's used by defenses. It's used by prosecution. It's kind of like whoever this makes the most sense to use it in, if they have it, they're going to use it. There isn't a whole lot of precedent here saying this isn't science or this is junk science, we can't take it. More so the precedent is going and saying, no, this is pretty factual on how it's working. Everyone's a bit uncomfortable at how it's being gathered because there's not a lot of strict protocols to this yet. Do we need to get more strict protocols on how this is used, or the fact that it's just kind of out there in the public, I mean, does that prohibit it, or should law enforcement have to go through a specific process to gather that information when they think it may be helpful?
Well, they do have to go through a process. In fact, these companies that gather this to help people figure out their lineage, they require search warrants and legal documents before they'll turn anything over. So it's not as if the government said, okay, you need to give me this. No, they had to go to a judge and actually get a warrant for this information for them to do the comparison. And I should say, and I think this is very interesting, when it comes to Brian Koberger, they actually had a warrant to search his mouth. Usually when you're arrested, and it's not every state, but usually when you're arrested, they are allowed now to swab you, just like we printed people. Right now, you can swab everybody, and pretty much everybody gets swabbed. There's a few states that don't, you know, require that, but for the most part. And they went above and beyond and said, we're going to do a search warrant for his mouth to swab him. I think just because they didn't want to have any sort of legal argument that could be posed regarding swabbing him. So the prosecution and I should say law enforcement has really gone above and beyond the legal requirements to obtain the DNA and to obtain the records pertaining the IgG DNA information. So I just think that this is the problem with the defense's argument. They just, it's not there that I can ascertain.
Yeah. The fact that they're raising concerns about evidence contamination, about the IgG process and all of that, it really just kind of feels like they're throwing things at a wall and seeing what sticks. In your opinion, as a former FBI agent, and what we know about how this investigation went down, is there any red flags that you can think of or that you've seen so far and how they gathered anything or how this case has come together? Or has it been a pretty tight ship from day one with the investigators looking into Koberger?
I think overall they did really an excellent job. And I don't say that because I'm former law enforcement. I call out all the time situations that are just jaw-dropping. But in this one, they've done a good job. The only hearing that, and I've listened to all the hearings and gathered all the evidence I possibly can, obviously, with this is a very sealed case and very protected case. So it's hard to get your hands on everything. But there is one incident where one officer basically kept his information in his drawer related to a cell search. And now it was nothing, the interesting part of is it's nothing that was really mind-blowing. It wasn't about Koberger's phone or, you know, it wasn't, it didn't provide any very significant information, but you just never want that. He was on the stand and he felt horrible about it. You know, he's up there. I should have turned that in. Unfortunately, in cases that are large like this, with all this reports that are done. So every time, people might not know this, but imagine every time you open up that computer screen and you do any analytics on any cell data, and that's what this person did, they have to type a report on it. And then the next day, they do their analytics and then they type a report on it. So I believe there are dozens and dozens, if not hundreds and hundreds, of reports like this that are done. And this guy realized he left one of those reports in his, I think it was a, not his filing cabinet, but somewhere in his desk drawer, as I recall. And So, of course, the defense is going to make hay out of that. Well, what else are you holding back? And the guy immediately said, listen, I'm not holding it back. I just screwed up. Basically, I did an incompetent move. You know, we're all human, and he screwed up and didn't put it in the main discovery pile, if you will. So anyway, I have seen that. And then it just opens the door for the defense to say, is anybody else being, you know, holding anything back, whether accidentally or not accidentally? So you just hate mistakes to be made. That's the only one I know about.
All right, true crime addicts, let's cut the crap. You're knee deep in the gory details of your favorite podcast when suddenly a commercial hits like a bad meal. Seriously? You deserve better. Upgrade to True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts, where you can binge without those annoying ads. Plus, get extended interviews that go deeper into the darkness and early access to episodes so you can be the first to know. It's like trading up from fast food to fine dining, but with more blood. So, go ahead. Search for True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts. Subscribe and feast on the good stuff.
Sally from finance loves fly fishing. She used to spend her weekend surrounded by receipts. Then she switched her company to Ramp. Now, spend is all under control, all in one place. Her team submits their expenses with a text, and she can close the books without all the busy work. So Sally's weekends are all her own, surrounded by fish, not receipts. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.
You have 5 new messages. Hey, Carl, it's Jen from finance. Could you submit your expenses this week? Hey, Carl, happy Friday. It's Jen, finance. Just need those receipts today. Me again, Carl. Really need those receipts, like last week. Please just tell me where they are. Are you by your desk right now?
Finance teams, you shouldn't be chasing down Carl or anyone else. With Ramp, expenses are sent with a text and reminders happen automatically. Switch your business to ramp.com today and love finance again.
You've done it again, finance teams. You closed the books and it went fine. Sure, some expenses were missing receipts, but that's fine. Stayed late to process invoices by hand. It's all fine. But don't you deserve better than fine? With Ramp, expenses are submitted with a text, invoices are coded automatically, and everything is connected to your accounting system so you can close the books without all the busy work. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.